his heart and God's word. I'm going to read from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 18. And just to make sure, sorry, 3 through 8. Oh, it is. Okay. So is that what you have up there? Okay. Yes, please stand. Sorry, I'm just seeing if it's the same version I have or not. It's a good thing God knows our heart and not what we're doing on the outside, isn't it? I mean, he's really concerned with that. So, God, thank you for seeing us and seeing our heart. And we ask you to bless this time in your word and time of hearing from your servant. Amen. Is any one among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is anyone among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they should pray over him after anointing him with olive oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The intense prayer of the righteous is very powerful. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, yet he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. You may be seated, and children may go to children's church.
Good morning. It's so good to be with you again, and it is my pleasure and my privilege to be here. I love preaching. I love studying the Word of God. I love being able to share together these precious times. Today, we're looking at James chapter 5, and I think, if I were to look back over the sermons that I've preached since I started preaching as an Alliance pastor in 1976, probably before a few of you were born, this may be the portion of Scripture that I've preached on more than any other. This is a very, very crucial portion of Scripture for those of us who are members of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. This is a part of our heritage. This is who we are. We believe in Jesus Christ, say it with me, as our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King. So Healer is part of the fourfold gospel. A.B. Simpson, the founder of the Alliance, experienced profound physical healing in his own body and preached and taught physical healing for the rest of his ministry, and the Alliance has carried that on. And it's, you know, God gives gifts of healing. The Lord gives gifts of healing, and sometimes there are healing services where you have someone who seems to have a gift of healing, and so they come and they individually invite people to come forward for healing. And I'm sure that God works that way. But what we're talking about today is God working in the context of the church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're talking about healing and the church today. And we read, Fred read for us those verses from James chapter 5. And just let me emphasize with you again, let's just look at it once again. Is any of you in trouble? He should what? Pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. So what's James emphasizing here, folks? Prayer. This passage is about prayer. So this morning we are concentrating our thoughts and our hearts on the subject of prayer. And as I was preparing this message, I looked again at one of my favorite books by Dr. Keith Bailey. How many of you ever heard Dr. Keith Bailey preach? Oh, that was an experience, I'm telling you. Dr. Keith Bailey was a pastor, a superintendent, one of the vice presidents in the Christian Missionary Alliance. He was, I think he was a missionary at one point, but hearing him preach was just a wonderful experience. And he wrote this book called The Children's Bread. If you can get your hands on this book, The Children's Bread, which is about divine healing, I would encourage you to do that. But one of the quotes from that book is right here at the top of the half sheet flyer that I prepared so that you can have a remembrance of this. Prayer for healing is a ministry shared by the whole church. When a group of elders pray, no one knows who prayed the prayer of faith. God alone receives the glory. So we are, in a few moments, we are going to call anyone who is sick to come forward and be anointed and prayed for by the elders of this church. I'm not sure who it was that prayed for this little one in the womb, but I would encourage somebody to come forward and stand in the place of that little one, and let's pray for that little one this morning as we go to prayer. And there are others of you. I'm going to ask for prayer for myself. I'm taking medication for high blood pressure, for high cholesterol, and for high blood sugar. Okay, so I fill out those forms, you know, and then they say, how healthy are you? What's your health? And I would say excellent, but how can it be excellent when I'm taking all these meds every day? But for a person who's taking all those meds every day, I feel really good. But there's been a couple of times lately that I get up in the morning and the room starts going like this. And so I'm going to ask for prayer for that. I would just encourage you to come forward. The elders will probably divide up into groups of two or three and anoint you with oil and pray for you. And it's just a wonderful experience. I've participated in many services of anointing and prayer, and I've been prayed for many times, and many people I know have been prayed for as well. And God works. I'll tell you this. We don't snap our fingers and tell God, you have to do it this way. I think it's very possible that not everyone who comes forward this morning will be instantly healed. So we're not promising that. But we do believe, and say amen if you believe this with me, we do believe that Jesus is still our healer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we are coming forward. We're not coming, this isn't magic. It isn't abracadabra. But it's coming before God in prayer. And let's look at how we come before God in prayer. First of all, we come before Him in persistent prayer. is any one of you in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy, let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick, he should call for the elders of the church. We pray, not just sometimes, but we are, as God's people, a people of prayer. Prayer is not something that we come, oh, okay, well, it's Sunday, let's pray. No, we've been praying, if we are God's people, we have been praying Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And so we come as people of prayer, as people of persistent, and I would say add, even though it doesn't start with P, I would add consistent. Consistent prayer. We are a prayerful people. Prayer is the atmosphere of our lives. Prayer is our lifestyle. This June, I was telling Tim, this June, Linda and I will celebrate, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we will celebrate our 49th wedding anniversary. And she hates it when I say this, but I think she deserves a medal. I think any woman deserves a medal for living with any man that long. But what would it be like if I only spoke with Linda one day a week? I don't think our marriage would have lasted 49 years if I only spoke to her one day a week. And if it's so important that I communicate with my wife and my children and my grandchildren and my parents when they were here and my friends, how much more important is it that we communicate with God? Persistently, consistently, as a lifestyle. Be joyful. I'll just read these verses for you from 1 Thessalonians here. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. And then we go to Ephesians 6. Pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. And with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And then we go to the words of Jesus in Luke chapter 18. That he taught his disciples that we should always pray and not give up. We should always pray and not faint. Folks, prayer should be our lifestyle. It should be the atmosphere of our lives. Amen? Amen. Second, prayer that we're talking about today is powerful. The NIV says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And that doesn't mean that, ladies, your prayer isn't powerful. We could just say the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Just like Elijah. Well, I wanted to go to James 5 because we've been talking about Elijah the last three times I've been with you. And we know from 1 Kings chapter 18 that Elijah was a human being just like us. He just had this marvelous victory in 1 Kings chapter 17 on Mount Carmel, and the Lord had done wonderful things. And then Jezebel says to him, I'm going to kill you, and he runs 75 miles off into the desert and lays down under a bush and says, God, I want to die. He was a man just like us. God used him in wonderful ways, but he was a human being just like you and me. But his prayer was powerful. He prayed, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it did rain. The prophets of Baal did all that they could, cut themselves and limped around the altar, trying to get Baal to answer with fire. And Elijah just simply prayed, and God sent fire, and it consumed the sacrifice and the altar and the wood and the water that was poured out upon it. Because prayer is powerful and effective. And that's what we're trusting in as people come this morning. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Folks, my experience has been this. God doesn't always work the way we want him to, in the timing that we want him to, or in the exact manner that we want him to. But my experience has been this. God does work in the lives of people who expect him to work, who come to him in faith and believe that if we ask, it'll be given. If we seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open. God, I don't understand the ways of God totally, but I do know that God answers prayer. And in that sense, prayer is powerful. Not because we are powerful, but because we are people of faith who ask a powerful God, who come before a powerful God. And that's what we're going to do in just a few moments. Third, prayer is a partnership. It's a partnership with God. We are coming. God could just do it just like that. He could do anything just like that. But for some reason, He chooses to work with people like me and you and all of us. He chooses to work in partnership with us. What a tremendous privilege that is. What a tremendous honor that is. When I get up to preach, I see this as a glorious privilege and a glorious honor. I am, in a real way, representing God to you. You don't want to hear the musings of Doug Peterson. You want to hear from God when I'm up here or when anybody's up here. And so we are in partnership with Him. And then we are in partnership with one another. Here's the partnership with us and God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. When I was in seminary, my wife and I had a couple who we were friends with, and we were debating, what is it? Is it God that works, or do we work? Free will and predestination and all that stuff. And the man quoted, he said, yeah, but the Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And the wife quoted, yes, but it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purposes. And we said, okay, let's look up those two verses. And here they are, they're in the same verse. Work out your own salvation, for it's God who works in you. Who is doing it? The partnership, Phil Yancey says, binds so tight that it becomes hard to distinguish who is doing what. God or the human partner? God has come that close. We have the privilege, folks, of our words being God's words. Our thoughts being God's thoughts. Our plans being God's plans. Pray for your elders as they make this decision in these next couple days. If they do indeed make the decision, that this will be not just their decision, but God's decision. That's what they want. I know that's what they want. I'm sure that's what they want. I no longer live, says Paul in Galatians, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave Himself for me. So we're talking about a prayer which is a partnership between us and God, and a prayer which is a partnership of the people in this church. So some people are going to come forward and ask for prayer. The elders are going to come forward and pray. And the rest of you, your part is to pray right where you are. This is a partnership, folks. And finally, it's a partnership of God and His penitent people. There have been times in my life when I have just wept before God in repentance. Oh, God, why did I say that to that person? God, why did I do that? God, what's wrong with me? Why do I fail You over and over again? God, but you know what? Penitence, repentance is not just a single event, should not just be a single event in our lives. We should be penitent people. We should be a people who come to the Lord at the end of a day and say, God, thank You for what You've done for me today, and please forgive me for this and that and the other thing. And hopefully we don't have too long of a list, but but God, forgive me for being a sinful human being, and thank You that You love me, and thank You that You accept me, and thank You that You forgive me. Amen? But that's our lives. And one of the worst things is that people, church people, so many times are accused of being arrogant and self-righteous. Folks, if we know God, we should be the least self-righteous people of anyone. We should be people who say, like the publican said in the parable that Jesus told, he said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The Pharisee comes and he says, oh God, I thank you that I'm not like them. I thank you I'm not like him. I thank you. And the Pharisee, or the publican, comes and he says, the sinner, he says, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Which one did Jesus say went away justified? The Pharisee or the publican? The publican. Because he understood who he was and who God was. Isaiah had a great picture of God, and his train filled the temple, and he saw the angels and the cherubim singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And what was Isaiah's response to that? Woe is me, for I am ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. When we see God, folks, we will be a repentant, penitent people. And Isaiah says all, even our righteous acts, not our sins, all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. So we are coming this morning for prayer as a church, for prayer for healing, persistent prayer, powerful prayer, prayer in partnership with God and his people, and prayer of a penitent people. So I'm going to, let's pray and ask God to be here in a wonderful way as we go through this service of anointing and prayer. Lord, we are nothing. We are less than nothing. We are sinful, rotten human beings, only saved by the blood and the graciousness of Jesus Christ, as we've celebrated this morning in communion. So we come to you with our praises. We've come to you with our praises. We come to you with our sicknesses as well, with our needs. Lord, we look to you for healing that you want to do through your people in the church and the elders who represent the church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. So if you would like to be anointed for prayer now, I would invite you to come forward. If you are an elder in the church, I would invite you to come forward. We will have our service of anointing in prayer.